IllbeHonest.com.
And I'm going to be using several texts in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. I want you to ask you, first of all, if you are a real Christian, there's no use to deny you are struggling in some way if you're a real Christian. You cannot be a real Christian without struggling. There is a serious war being engaged upon you. And you are not passive, and you're not indifferent, and you're not a bystander. You are the center of attack. And this war is deadly. It's serious. It's the fight of faith. It begins when you first believe, but it will continue to the day the Lord calls you home or He comes for you. And you will not see heaven unless you fight tooth and toenail with all that's within you. I'm telling you, your salvation will cost you all that is within you. It is a free gift, and God does it all. It is by grace we are saved through faith. And it's grace at first, and it will be grace at last. But the grace of God will be so administered to you that you are called into conflict, to struggle, to overcome. Now, I want you to look at some texts. I thought about this. It's amazing to me. The more I read the letters to the churches, the more I'm amazed at this portion of Scripture. That is, after the gospel, after Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead and ascended back into heaven, and the gospel has been preached and the Holy Spirit has worked and people have been converted, here, the Lord would step in audibly to people who are already established Christians, already established churches, and present to them a personal word, nitpicking on their faults, praising their strengths, and then telling them, you better get over what's wrong. How dare him? Why don't he come to us at the close of our assembly or our meeting when we gather or has words to say to us and say something like, don't worry, everything's fine, I'm going to save you, I'm going to take care of everything. Why would he use such words? Notice in chapter 2, verse 7, this is to the church at Ephesus. He that hath an ear, and I'm not going to read the whole letters to the church, it's just this final exhortation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Well, I thought that I am saved. Why tell me I must overcome? Because you must overcome. You must get over those things that would pull you down or draw you away from the Lord Jesus. You must conquer. You see, you are a soldier of the cross. You are in the army of God. You are called to fight the good fight of faith. You are engaged in a battle. You are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are unimaginable powers that are let loose against us. It's an amazing thing. No wonder we could even be... Isn't it amazing someone could have enough power to invade in our mind a silly thought during worship? Now that's pretty powerful to be able to do that. For somebody to have access. But I'm telling you, the powers and the principalities that are real on the enemy side are no joke. They're serious. And they will take you down. They will take you to death and hell if you don't overcome them. And you can. There's good news. Don't despair. Don't give up. Fight! power of His might. Notice He said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And it is implied if you don't overcome, you don't get to eat of this fruit. And if you don't eat of this fruit, you're not going to live forever. That is with Him. That's the closing message to Ephesus. Now look at chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. This is the message to the church at Smyrna. Very good church, faithful. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil," notice he is very powerful, you know, "shall cast some of you into prison." Well, why don't you prevent that, Lord? You know, you're all powerful. You mean faithful saints who are serving the Lord in a spirit of usefulness are going to be taken out, as it were, of their ministry and their witness and be cast into a... In those days, prison was a sorry affair. Wasn't like our prisons. And the devil would do this. That's pretty powerful, wouldn't it? Isn't it pretty powerful for an entity, a power to come and take Christians who are in full bloom service for the Lord, to take them, as it were, out of their ministry, out of their witness, out of the context of their faithfulness in their local church, and put them in prison? And Jesus is saying this. You're talking about her serving the Lord got me into prison. He says this, "And you shall have tribulation 10 days. I think that could be literal. It could be figurative of for the church, a 10-year period. In fact, actually, there was from the Emperor Diocletian a 10-year period of persecution in Asia Minor against the Christians from the Roman Empire. But he says this, "You shall, however long you shall have tribulation, whether it's 10 days, 10 months, or 10 years. Think about this. Whether it's 10 days, 10 months, or 10 years, you'll have tribulation." Oh, I expected to go to heaven on flowery beds of these. No, folks, if you go to heaven, you'll go through the path of tribulation. Well, we're going to go through the tribulation one of these days. Oh, folks! All who are in Christ Jesus suffer tribulation. Listen, you can have the best atmosphere in the world. You can have fine family. You can have all a good church. You can have every sort of resource spiritually to help you. And you can be going through a literal hell of tribulation because what is being waged against you from the enemy. This is not a joke. This thing is real. The devil's not playing. Are you playing? It's serious. "You shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be faithful right up all the way. Stay with me all the way. Stay with me though it's hard. Stay with me though it's confusing. Stay with me though it doesn't seem to be bright in the future. Stay with me whatever the cost. Stay with me and I'll reward you. It will be worth it, folks." When He sets that crown of life upon our head, He says so. "I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh," that is all that which is coming against us, "shall not be hurt of the second death." Now that's the real painful death, is the second one. You don't want that kind of hurt. You never get over it. Indicating that we must overcome or be hurt by the second death. And that is nothing short of eternal separation from God. And I cannot imagine what that ultimate penalty will be, to be dying forever, separated from God. And it's not just the fact of the fire and brimstone. I say this, because if you die in your sin, if you die a rebel against God, if you die not doing what you're called to do or doing what you're supposed to do, my friend, hell would be a hell to you if God locked you up in a air-conditioned room forever. You'd have to live with yourself. And your own self would provide a worm that died not and a fire that wouldn't be quenched. No, we don't want. I don't want, folks. And a lot of things I know that I don't like. But I don't want this. Do you? I don't. Lord, that's kind of motivational. Not to be hurt of the second death. Then in chapter 2, verse 17, he that hath, this is to the church at Pergamos, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. That is, your particular pilgrimage and your particular struggles and the things that you do and the things that come against you and the particular trials you face in life are unique and solitary to your own private experience. And when you overcome, the Lord is going to know and give you some sort of special recognition with a name that embodies all that you've been through, all that you've suffered, that will be exceedingly pleasing to you to know that He knew and He cared. Yeah. What a wonderful promise. A new name which is written, which no man saving he that receives it knows it. And then in chapter 2, verse 25 and 26, this is to Thyatira. He said, hold fast that which you have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as vessels, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, I have time to make comment on all these things. Revelation 3, verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out, notice this, promise, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before his angels. You want to hear Jesus confessing you openly. You want him before all the assembled universe, angels and all mankind. You want to say, you want to hear from the Lord, I own Kyle. He's mine. I own Gary. He's mine. You want to hear that? I own Tim. He's mine. Oh, what a wonderful thing. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. I hope you do have an ear to hear what the Spirit does say to the churches. Chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. Behold, I come quickly. Hold, this is to the church at Philadelphia. Hold fast. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast. That fast which you have, that no man take thy crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write him upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And then finally, the final exhortation to the church at Laodicea in verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. Now notice this interesting footnote, interesting commentary here that guess what? The life of Jesus was not a pushover. His earthly life was a life of struggle itself. His earthly life was a life of bewildering temptations. His earthly life was a difficult life of pressure. You believe that? Do you believe that he was tempted in all points? Do you believe his temptations were real? Do you believe he did struggle not only in it, as it were? Do you recall he goes up and spends whole days and nights in prayer? He's fighting. He's fighting for our salvation. There in the wilderness as the devil came at him. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Go ahead and feed yourself. You're hungry. If you're God, you can do this. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He overcame. And how did he do it? Did God come down and do supernatural little miracles chasing with? No, he did it standing firm in the word of God with confidence in his Father, just as you and I must do. This is an amazing thing. Following Christ, what does it mean? Folks, it means a lot more than we've chalked it up to mean. Following the Lord Jesus. Shall we follow him? Shall we make the grade? Shall we really be serious disciples? Or shall we just put our hand to the plow and look back and be considered not fit, as it were, for the kingdom of God? So he that overcometh, he says, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. I have noticed, in fact, through the years in my ministry, it is not our initial profession of faith or the excitement emotionally that we showed the time that we were converted that really is of any monumental consequence. The most important thing about our Christianity is how we follow through. It's how we end up living day after day, week after week, month after month. I found out that you can see all kinds of decisions in people. They can be a strong decision. That's wonderful. Full of confidence. Full of great emotion. Or they can be a very weak and frail decision. We even have some doubts about that profession of faith. But again, it is not. You can't tell. Really, folks, I'm saying this. The proof is in the perseverance. The proof of our Christianity will come in this tooth and toenail battle with sin, the world, the flesh, unholy thoughts, pressure from without, all kinds of hell being let loose in our minds. Then we will prove whether we're really, truly of the Lord. In Christ and Christ in us. Whether we have overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and loving not our lives unto the death. Somebody might say, would you like to die for the Lord someday? How about now? How about now? Because you see, that's what we're doing. We're dying to self. And that's what the Lord calls us to. Now tonight, I want to talk about, if I can, briefly. We're going to consider three or four aspects of this overcoming. And the amazing thing is that the Lord equates this issue of overcoming with final salvation itself. Doesn't he? He says it's got to be done. And so we're going to consider the fact that it must be done. It has to be done on this side. It's something that goes on now. That is, this pressure, this pull, this onslaught, this loosening of evil that comes against you, this warfare, you're going to have to be a victor. You're going to have to overcome. If you don't overcome sin, it will overcome you. You think, well, I've been saved. Folks, I hear all the time, and I believe in being saved in a historical moment of time and passing from death into life. But folks, salvation is continual. I've heard all through the years about people who've fallen into gross, and I know Christians can sin, but people falling out of church, falling back into sin, falling all kinds, and all they said, well, they were saved. I said, were they? Where is their salvation? Is God saving them? Is God saving you in this battle? You're in it. Is He working in you? Is He releasing His power incrementally in you to help you overcome? For you see, that's where it's coming from. If you're overcoming, it's not because you're smarter than the devil. It's because you're keeping side by side, close in hand with the Lord Jesus Himself. You're abiding in Him. You're resting in Him. You're staying near to Him. You're keeping up your prayer life. You're keeping up your devotion. You're keeping up your seriousness. You're searching your heart. You're presenting yourself daily to the Lord. You're consecrating yourself and devoting your energies to the service and the glory of God. And the Lord, in His faithfulness, and He is faithful, is releasing into your being, moment by moment, day by day, here a little, there a little, enough strength to win, to conquer, to be faithful, to overcome. Yes, it must be done now, overcoming. What is it on this side that we must overcome? Maybe I'll have time for that. Maybe I'll have time for any of this. Maybe I'll quit right now and tell you, get with it. Serve the Lord. But I want to, if I can, tell you the way in which we do overcome. And then finally close with the encouraging joys at the end of the game. Oh, you're talking about a celebration. You're talking about the release of unimaginable things. Oh, do you hear what Jesus promised these folks? Man, let's go for it. That's the good stuff. I want it. I've got to have it. I don't want to miss it. To miss it would be hell. I want the tree of life. I want the white stone. I want the name of the Father branded on my head. I want to be confessed before God. I want those things. So, Don, you must overcome. Now, what is this thing of overcoming? We must do it. Overcoming is the ultimate and final victory, the continual victory over anything and everything that would pull you back into sin, pull you down into the world, forsaking the way. In fact, I was meditating a little bit this afternoon on this. You know, there is the true persevering Christian that will overcome, and then there is the apostate that doesn't overcome, that goes back. The persevering Christian that overcomes has faced the same things that the apostate has faced. The apostate has not overcome. He has given in. He has turned back. He's given up. He says it's no use. I've tried it and it don't work. There's too much trouble associated with it. There's too much confusion. There are too many denominations. There's too many church squabbles. There's too many people at outs with one another. And they can find all kinds of reasons to give up, to quit, to go back. But the overcomer, the persevering Christians, have faced the same mental attacks. He's seen the same bewildering conditions in churches. He's faced the same horrid temptations in his mind. He has fought in his soul demonic powers that he has had little realization of the power in their evil. And yet he has overcome. You see, it is victory. It is victory in Jesus. It's victory over all external enemies of our soul. It's victory over the internal weaknesses we all deal with. We have corruptions in us that show up that we must overcome. You know that's true. Can you just let your mind go free? You've got to rein it in. You've got to kill it. When that corruption that so easily shows up in your mind and suggests to you the most horrid and wicked things, you must kill it. Put it to death. Mortify it. Slay it. Say, no, that's not what I am. That's not where I want to go. It's overcoming every soul-destroying error in bad teaching. So this overcoming is going on now. It's what's happening tonight in your life if you're an overcomer. You are in the battle. You battled a little today. You'll battle perhaps tonight as you go home. You'll battle in the morning to some degree. Now I know, thank God, there are blessed periods of rest. Thank God for them. Oh, sweet times of rest. But oh, you know, I had a delusion when I was first converted, when I first started serving the Lord. The Lord filled me with such joy in the Holy Spirit, and I was caught up like almost like the Apostle Paul to the third heaven. I thought that my Christian life was going to be really a flowery bed of ease. And I can remember laying on the grass, looking up the blue sky. There was joy and peace in my heart, not a trouble in the world, not a temptation. I thought, man, this is living. And it is. Christ is life. Christ is liberty. Christ is joy, peace, goodness, everything. In fact, when you are connected to Jesus Christ, you are connected to your real purpose in the universe. As long as you're separated from Christ, you are out of sync with the very cosmos, with the very existence of all things. But when you get right with God, you are in harmony and league with the rocks of the field and the trees of the field and the stones. Man, you're just with it. You're in the program. It's a wonderful thing. And I thought again that the Christian life was going to be a breeze. Nothing but continual baptisms of the Holy Spirit. Nothing but floods of joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And then it happened. In church, I began to have the most horrid thoughts. Thoughts that I even never had when I was an unbeliever. Flooded into my mind. The most blasphemous thoughts. Ugly thoughts. Dirty thoughts about Jesus Christ. I said, what is this? What is this? Can I be a Christian? I don't like this! I hate this. And I didn't even know much about spiritual warfare. I didn't know much about the work of the enemy at all. I was just young. But I'll tell you this. I got schooling real fast. In fact, that's what, again, the purpose of this. You'd be if God didn't test you, if God didn't allow the devil to get at you a little bit, if God didn't allow you the measure of tribulation, you'd be good for nothing. You wouldn't mount to a hill of beans in the kingdom's work. It's the more that you suffer, it's the more that you're tested, it's the more that you're tried, it's the more that you're pressured and you overcome it, that you build what is in God's sight character and the Lord's blessing of knowledge and wisdom that you gain through that experience enables you to be more effective, more powerful, more insightful to the things of God. Yes, the Lord has His reasons. All things work together. They do. For the ultimate good of those who are children of God. So this overcoming is going on now. And we must not be idle or indifferent to our own participation in the battle. You see, it's the current outcome
that matters to Christ. Isn't it amazing? As the Lord addresses these churches, He doesn't rest at all in their history, in their feelings, or their past experience. He does mention historically the good things that can be found in them. But He confronts them with a particular condition and then lays upon them the option. And that's true, folks. The option is always before us. Which way are we going to go? You said, I've decided to follow Jesus. Yeah, that was a long time ago. What about now? What about in this present thing you're feeling? Which way are you going to go? What's the current decision? What's the choice today in your situation? My friend, Christian living is not the indulgence of nostalgia. It is the active engagement of present choice. It is the exercise of your willpower today to do right, to follow on to know the Lord, to press in, to strive to enter in the narrow gate. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, whatever I have to give up, whatever has to be burned out of me, whatever has to be chastened out of me, I want to be like Christ. Come on, Lord, do it to me. Bring me in. Save my soul. Purify my life. Bring me into the perfect image of your Son, and I'll be happy. It's a current choice. There was a young man named, I think his name was J. Vandekin. He was converted by reading one of C.S. Lewis' books, Mere Christianity. He was communicating with Mr. Lewis. And of all the correspondence, in fact, C.S. Lewis would write back personally to everyone, every single letter that addressed a spiritual concern, he would address it. But he said this to this new convert, Mr. Vandekin. There will be a counterattack on you, you know. So don't be alarmed when it comes. The enemy will not see you vanish into God's company without an effort to reclaim you. The devil! Who is it that makes war? Look at Revelation 12. Listen to this. The dragon in verse 17. The dragon was wroth with the woman. The woman is the elect, the chosen of God, the people of the Lord, and went to make war with her, the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I mean, the devil's after you. Powers and principalities you wrestle with. Listen, you know, it's an important principle in your Christian life that whatever is in your past, forget it. Whether it is bad or good, you just put it back. Forget it. The Bible tells you to do that in Philippians 3:13. Forgetting those things which are behind. You see, it's always the current now that's important. Well, we really be serving the Lord was really close to the Lord at one time. Yeah, but what about now? Well, I really used to be fervent in prayer and really have in my heart a zeal and a love. It was really like a first love, but you know, it's kind of cooled down now and I'm not as excited about it as it once was. It's just kind of, you know, ho-hum, so what? What about now? It's now. It's the now condition that the Lord is addressing. It's the now state that really matters. And the admonition to overcome strongly suggests to us that the only faith that really is faith is the faith that overcomes. It's not those that have joy and receive the word with gladness and they endure for a while, but then in times of temptation or tribulation, they fall away. But it's those who receive the word and the trials come, the storms come, the temptations come, the enemy comes, the attacks come, and they stay by the stuff and say, I'm staying with you, Lord. I don't want to go back. I want to press on. I want to be faithful.
I want to be true. So this thing of overcoming, folks, it suggests that there is real energy. Strong, serious effort is required of us. There'll be hurdles thrown at you in which you're going to have to leap over. There are going to be hurts that come into your heart that you're going to have to get over. There are going to be people that let you down and offend you that you're going to have to get over and forgive and get over it. There's going to be temptations like you never dreamed come against you, and you're going to have to say no to those temptations. There will be attacks. There will even be false lies and teachings that are all designed to stop you, to kill you, to destroy you. So, it's not strange when you come to church on Sunday morning and you really feel, maybe you've been so in the fray, you've been struggling. Good. You've been fighting. Good. You've had a lot of things in the week come against you that you didn't like. But you're still coming to church! You're still interested in the Lord. You're still seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, my friend, know that the devil is serious and hell-bent on pulling you back down, pulling you away from the Lord. So therefore, whatever is meant, when we talk about this thing of overcoming, the word itself implies energy put forth. Overcoming. Whatever it means, I'll tell you this. A lazy approach, a mental indifference to your Christian life is not going to result in final victory. You've got to care to enter in. Being saved has to mean more to you than your life itself. Being saved has to mean more to you than your precious mommy and daddy. Brother or sister, son or daughter, dearest relationship, following the Lord. Strive to enter in the straight gate. For many, I say to you, listen to this, one of the most shocking statements in the New Testament. Jesus said, many will seek to enter in, but shall not be able. Well, I want to go to heaven. That's no guarantee you're going to get there. Well, I want to be saved. That's no guarantee you're going to be saved. Many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why wouldn't they be able? Because they didn't care for it with all their heart and all their soul. Listen, God doesn't require perfection in any of us. If He did, we'd all be lost. But I'll tell you what He does require, that you throw yourself into this business of following Him and being faithful to Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, that you give yourself to it fully. Fully! And guess what? You engage yourself and your will fully to serve the Lord, to be faithful with the Lord. Guess what? Help comes. Strength. I like that verse. Revelation 12:10, listen to this. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and what strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now is come help, strength. It's in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord. To be engaged. Yes, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Gird up, Paul said, the loins of your mind. Pull up your britches and get serious. Now, the scripture says in Romans 13:11, now it is high time to wake out of sleep. Now it's time to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Oh, the call is serious tonight, folks. The thing of overcoming is now. It's in this present state. It's in this present struggle. And in every case in which there is an overcoming. You know, what is it that we must overcome? Let me give you a summary. In general, it's what every saint must overcome. It's the sin, any sin, overcome sin, overcome the world, and overcome the devil. Overcoming. Now, it had particular forms. In Ephesus, they had to overcome this subtle loss of their first love. They were very active, very busy, very correct. They had the proper view of doctrine. They were doctrinally sound. They just was in their heart beginning to drift away incrementally. And the flame was dying down, and their first love was being departed from. And Jesus, who's sensitive most of all to what's going on in your heart, saw that their heart was beginning to slip away from Him. Little by little, they were leaving their love, their first love. In fact, Jesus is our first love. He must be our first love. And the disciples of Ephesus are admonished to overcome this falling away, this loss of their first love, this choice devotion for Jesus Christ, the things of the Spirit on the front burner. In Smyrna, it was the drift to yield to the pressure to compromise, to lighten up. It was getting tough in Smyrna to continue to profess faith in Christ because there was so much opposition and persecution coming at them. They had to overcome. There was prison and hardship that would be possible death to some of these folks. And they had to overcome and stay faithful to the Lord. In Pergamon, it was their bad teaching that had swept into the church of easy believism and false teaching that promised liberty to sin without any negative consequence. Especially making sexual immorality and eating of idolatrous, promiscuous, all those evil feasts that were going on in the pagans, partaking of that food devoted to idols. They had to overcome that pressure, that pull into the world. In Thyatira, it was false liberty in the name of Christ to turn grace, the grace of God, into a license to fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Sardis, man, it wasn't this easy believism. It was the opposite era, strict, hard, dead legalism. Hard, having a name and all kinds of external forms of religion, but no inner reality. They had to overcome. In Laodicea, it was that smug, middle-of-the-road attitude, that state of comfortable compromise between total devotion and total deadness, the halfway house, neither hot nor cold, not all out for sin, but not all out for God either. So what is it that we must do? Whatever it is that's coming at you, this overcoming is a real battle, a real struggle. It's a struggle against your enemy, the devil. He's behind it. He has lots of helpers, you know. The whole world is there to help him. For the whole world does lie in wickedness, don't you? You know, it really is you against the world. You know, there's a few friends that we have in this business. Thank God for them. The fellowship and the communion of the saints. That's why it's so important to stay in church and stay faithful to them. And forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You need church. You need the ministry of the church. You need fellowship. You need the teaching of the Word of God. You need communion of the saints. Well, whatever it is, there's lots of way to backslide, folks. But the effect is all the same. Just defeat.
the overthrow of your devotion to Jesus Christ, the killing of your good works, the killing of your prayer life, bringing you out of fellowship with the saints, into closeness with the wrong crowd, out of your prayer life and away from the Word of God, out of the Spirit and into the flesh, out of the joy of the Lord and into stress and tribulation, away from hope into skepticism and despair. Now let me give you, and I will close with this. How do you overcome? What are the ways of overcoming? You know, in one sense, listen to this. It is by faith that we overcome. There is a verse in 1 John 5:4. Do you know this verse? It's wonderful. Listen to it. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Isn't that right? Our faith. Got faith? Prove it. How do you prove it? Saying no. Denying self. Choosing the right. Abhorring evil. Following on. Pressing on. Staying with the stuff. Staying true. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. You can overcome, you know. You can. So do it. Know this. It makes a difference. The devil's against you, but God is for you. If you're serious, he's for you all the way. That's good to know. The Lord. How much power does he have? The devil's got a lot of power. Powers and principalities is no laughing matter. But if God be for us, that's what matters. God is for you. All spiritual help at the throne of grace is on the line in your case. God will come to your aid in any time of crisis, in any time of need, if you come honestly to Him. And He wants you to. In fact, I suppose that's one of the reasons why He lets things happen the way they do, just to bring us back to Him. You need to get back, don't you? Get back where you belong. Get back to the source. Get back to Him who is supreme. Get back to the real cause of everything. Get back to your joy. Get back to your salvation. God is for you. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Know that. Here's the second thing I want to encourage you. Know and use what you do know of Scripture. When you feel tempted and discouraged and down, you are not to look to your feelings. You're to look to the written Word of God, what God says. You cannot at times, in fact, one of the least trustworthy things in this universe at times is the way you feel. You sure cannot trust your feelings. What do you have to do? You have to rely upon the objective, unchanging Word of God. Is this not the pattern that the Lord Jesus laid down for us? When under assault by Satan himself, he could have banished him to hell, but he didn't, because he stood there working out our salvation. He stood there as a pattern and an example for us and stood up to the test by quoting the Word of God. So get in your Bible, and may the Bible get in you. Because what the Bible says is trustworthy. Heaven and earth can and will pass away, but what God said will never pass away. Use what you know of the Scripture. Thirdly, keep it short and simple. What do I mean by that? As bewildering and mysterious as our trials and temptations are at times, the issue with us usually boils down
to one simple response, yes or no. And that's all.
The devil's coming at you, you know it's wrong. You've been told it's wrong, you see that it's wrong from the scriptures. Yes or no? Listen, don't start parlaying and rationalizing and philosophizing. Either yes or no, I will or I will not. That'll put the devil on the loose. That'll put him in his corner. What does the Bible say in James? Resist him. I will not do that sin. I will not go that way. I will stay. I don't even feel saved at this point, but I will stay with Christ. I will stay with the Word of God. I will stay with the truth. I will stay with the promises. I will stay with that which I know and have reason to believe is sure. I will stay with the Lord. Yes, in your struggles and your battles, keep it short. Keep it simple. Don't spend long time thinking about questionable suggestions. Just say, no thanks. In some cases, you'll be found that you're caught in a spot where you ought not to be. Don't stay there! Flee! Get out! Fourthly, whatever else, when you're under pressure to give up, whatever else, stay with God's people. Amen? Stay with the saints. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some. You may think your case is unique, and there may be some things that are very particular to your situation, but yet in a general sense, the same temptations fall upon all of us. There is no temptation taking you that is not common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able. Christians around you are struggling too, you know. You think, you come in like, poor, poor, pitiful me. I'm the only one struggling. Nobody else is having a hard time. I want you to cry. Cry. I'm a big cry. I want you to cry. Nobody else. Everybody, folks, we're all in this thing together. We're all battling in some form or some fashion. Something new is constantly being thrown at us. And so, what we do, we need one another. We need the human touch. We need to cast our burdens. Not only on the Lord, we need to be able to confess our faults one with another. And we need to be able to get down on our knees with one another without criticism, without judgment, and say, brother, I feel for you. Let me pray with you about this. Let's pray for one another. Let's help one another. We need each other, brethren. It's the devil's business to divide and scatter people and put distance between true Christians. Listen, in the sorry, wicked days we live in, we can't afford the loss of any Christian fellowship. We need everybody we can have. In this struggle and in this battle, God help us to stay in the right place to encourage one another, edify one another, build one another up. Bear one another's burdens. And fifthly, if you've sinned, if you've given in to a suggestion that's wrong and you've done wrong and you know it, repent. This is what Christ said to many of the churches, to repent. You're not to go on and risk greater damage. The moment you know you've sinned, if you have fallen, if you sin, you need then quickly to admit it, to be honest with the Lord. Even worse than committing that sin is staying away from the Lord and not coming to Him with honesty and contrition and confession. What does the Scripture promise us? If we confess our sins,
He is faithful and just. Has any of you Christians ever found yourself needing to confess your sins? It works, you know. The Lord does pardon and cleanse. It's not coming back. It's not repenting. It is not returning to the Lord that is fatal. Needless to say, in every one of these cases, when the Lord said, "He that overcometh," He promised unspeakable, unimaginable compensation. The joy of the Lord. Being with Him forever. Getting a new body without defect. Taken into a realm where dwells righteousness. There's not any tempter. And there's no corruption within you, and everything's perfect. Delight. Paradise. Being with God. Seeing Jesus as He is. Having the Lord personally to put His arms around you and walk you in heaven and telling you private things. I think the verse is applicable. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. It will be worth it to you. You've got the most to gain and the most to lose in this affair of overcoming. So get out there and face your battles. Come on, struggle with the enemy. Fight. Get over it. Overcome. There is the blood of the Lamb, you know. There is the word of the testimony. And loving not our lives to death, we can overcome. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I don't know what's ahead of me in the next year, the next month, or the next day. But Lord, I know that this battle from my previous experience has been real. It's been no cakewalk to this point. But I thank You that You've been faithful to Your Word to help me in all of my temptations. Lord, there have been times that I haven't performed as I should, but You've been gracious enough to forgive me and restore me. And then, Lord, I found You to be so faithful to come in the hour of need and lift me up, to impute into me strength that I didn't have, to give unto me wisdom that was far outwitting even the most diabolical of the devil's temptations. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for the power of God that can be released in our lives just simply by coming to You by faith and casting our case and our need upon You. Lord, we're all in need tonight. There's not a one of us that are true Christians that are not feeling the pressure. The world is against us. The devil is against us. Our own flesh at times rises up and is adverse to us. But dear Father, through Thy grace and through Thy Word and through the power of Your Spirit, we can overcome, we will overcome, we must overcome. And dear God, we're looking forward to the fruits of this victory, the victory that we have in Jesus, the victory that Jesus has wrought for us. Lord Jesus, I pray it'll be worked out in every one of these souls here at Community. I'm thankful to be here tonight among these dear people, and I pray that they will press on. They'll keep up the good fight of faith. They will be victorious day after day, week after week, and we'll see one another's face shine in glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.